Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 12, Chapter 2, The Symptoms of Kali Yuga, Text Number 3. Dampatye Viruchir Hetur Mayaiva Vyavaharike Ritve Pumsave Chahi Ratir Vipratve Sutram Evahi Dampatye. In the relationship of husband and wife, Abhiruchi, superficial attraction. Hetu, the reason. Maya, deceit. Eva, indeed. Vyavaharike, in business. Sritve, in being a woman. Puntsve, and being a man. Cha, and he, indeed. Prati, sex. Vipratve, and being a brahmana. Sutram, the sacred thread. Eva, only. He, indeed. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Men and women will live together merely because of superficial attraction, and success in business will depend on deceit. Womanliness and manliness will be judged according to one's expertise in sex, and a man will be known as a brahmana just by wearing a thread. Please repeat. Men and women will live together merely because of superficial attraction. And success in business will depend on deceit. Womanliness and manliness will be judged according to one's expertise in sex. And a man will be known as a brahmana just by his wearing a thread. Purport. Just as human life as a whole, this is by Prabhupada's disciples, just as a human life as a whole has a great and serious purpose, namely spiritual liberation, fundamental human institutions such as marriage, child rearing should also be dedicated to that great objective. Unfortunately, in the present age, the satisfaction of the sex impulse has become the overriding, if not the exclusive, reason for marriage. The sexual impulse, which induces the male and female of almost every species to combine physically, and in higher species also emotionally, is ultimately not a natural urge, because it is based on the unnatural identification of the self with the body. Life itself is a spiritual phenomena. It is the soul that lives and gives apparent life to the biological machine called the body. Consciousness is the soul's manifest energy, and thus consciousness, awareness itself, is originally an entirely spiritual event. When life of consciousness is confined within a biological machine and falsely mistakes itself to be that machine, material existence occurs and sex desire arises. God intends human life to be an opportunity for us to rectify this illusory mode of existence and return to the vast satisfaction of pure godly existence. But because our identification with the material body is a long historical affair, it is difficult for most people to immediately break free from the demands of the materially molded mind. Therefore, the Vedic scriptures prescribe sacred marriage in which a so-called man and a so-called woman may combine in a regulated spiritual marriage sheltered by overarching religious injunctions. In this way, the candidate for self-realization who has selected family life can derive adequate satisfaction for his senses and simultaneously please the Lord within his heart by evading religious injunctions. The Lord then purifies him of material desire. In Kali Yuga, this deep understanding has almost been lost. And as stated in this verse, men and women combine like animals solely on the basis of mutual attraction to bodies made of flesh, bone, membrane, blood, and so on. In other words, in our modern godless society, the weak, superficial intelligence of humanity rarely penetrates beyond the gross physical covering of the eternal soul, and thus family life has, in most cases, lost its highest purpose and value. A corollary point established in this verse is that in the age of Kali, a woman is considered a good woman if she is sexually attractive and indeed sexually efficient. Similarly, a sexually attractive man is a good man. The best example of this superficiality is in the incredible attention 20th century people give to materialistic movie stars, music stars, and other prominent figures in the entertainment industry. In fact, pursuing sexual experiences with various types of bodies is similar to drinking old wine from new bottles. But few people in the Kali Yuga can understand this. Finally, this verse states that in the age of Kali, a man will become known as a priest or a brahmana merely by wearing a ceremonial dress. In India, brahmanas wear a sacred thread. In other parts of the world, members of the priestly class have other ornaments and symbols. But in the age of Kali, the symbol alone will suffice to establish a person as a religious leader despite his ignorance of God. So the verse again. Dampatye biruchir hetu mayaiva vyavaharike strive punksve tahiritir vipratve sutramevahi. Men and women will live together merely because of superficial attraction. Success in business will depend on deceit. Womanliness and manliness will be judged according to one's expertise in sex. And a man will be known as a brahmana simply by his wearing a thread. Among Vishnu, Padaya, Krishna, Prasthaya, Bhutte, Srimati, Bhaktivedanta, Swami, Tanamane, Namaste Sarasutundeve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunivadi Paskatya De Satarne. The Bhagavad Gita is a summary of all the Vedic knowledge. And they say that the Vedic knowledge has approximately 10 billion verses. The 700 verses of the Bhagavad Gita are a summary of 10 billion verses, which is quite compact. And of the 700 verses in the Bhagavad Gita, there are two that are cited twice by Lord Krishna. One of them is Shreyohi Gyanam Abhyasad. That's all right. Shreyohi Gyanam Abhyasad. What is Shreyahi Swadharma Hi Dharma Swadhara Dharma We have a Bhagavad Gita, so I can get it right. Shreyahi Dharma Abhyasad. Sorry, I did that. Shreyahi. Shreyan Swadhamo Viguna Paradharma Sunustitat. Swadharma Niyadam Shreyak Paradharma Bhayavaha. So, Shreyan Swadhamo Viguna Paradharma Sunustitat. Svedame Niyadam Shreyak Paradharma Bhayavaha. It is better to perform one's own prescribed duty, even imperfectly, other than another's duties perfectly. Destruction in the course of one's own prescribed duties is better than engaging in other's duties, for to follow another's path is dangerous. Shreyo swadhamam viguna paradharma sunustitat. Sve dharma nidanam shreyak paradharma bhayavaha. And the other verse is Manmana Bhava Madbhakto Madhyaji Mam Namaskuru Mame Vaishasi Yuktaivam Atmana Matparayanaha Vashraya. So one deals with how we're supposed to live in the material world, and the other one is how to live in the spiritual world. Unless we give up living in the material world, we can't live in the spiritual world. Unless we live in the spiritual world, we have to live in the material world. That's our only choice. Although we may think we have many choices, but that's the only choice. Now, the material world is just an imitation. Therefore, this verse has specific significance, because if we want to stop imitating, then we have to do the right thing. We have to be honest. So the honest thing is that we're not the proprietors of this material world. Now, for the conditioned soul, that's quite a difficult concept to comprehend because of our false ego, which causes us to identify ourselves with these gross and subtle bodies. Simultaneously, we have a very strong sense of proprietorship and a very strong sense of doership, that we're actually the doers of our activities. So we're not about to give it up all of a sudden or abruptly, nor can we artificially give it up. It requires enlightenment. But we have to qualify ourselves for enlightenment. But because we have to perform material activities, therefore, if that was the only possibility, then we'd stay in the material world forever. But Krishna has created Chatura Vayamaya Srishtam Guna Karma Vibhaga Shaha Tasya Kartaram Apimam Vidya Kartaram Avyam. He's created Varna and Ashram. In other words, he's created duties. Now, these duties are not just ordinary duties, because everyone has some duty. People have a duty to go and pay their electric bill. They have a duty to pay for their mortgage. They have a duty to send their children to school. Everyone has duties. But these duties in Varna and Daivi Vanashram are duties for Yaga Jai Vai Vishnu. Everyone has a duty to cooperate for the sacrifice to please Krishna. And ultimately, their duty is to please Krishna, but they can do it in the material world with the material energy. It is almost like a child, they want to cook, but they're only 2 years old or 3 years old, so they can't really cook. They get themselves into difficulty. So their mother gives them a plastic stove to cook with, and plastic pots, and plastic chapatis, and the child believes it's cooking. Similarly, we've been given the material energy because more or less, we can't do anything bad with material energy because we can't do anything with it. We can desire in such a way as that we may find ourselves in difficulty and eventually do the reactions of the material nature, but ultimately we're not in control of the material nature, and therefore Krishna can arrange everything perfectly here so we don't cause trouble in the spiritual world. But in the meantime, if we want to go back to the spiritual world, we have to recognize Krishna as the proprietor. and that the material nature is meant for yajna, or a sacrifice for Krishna. And that sacrifice is born of prescribed duties. So prescribed duties means that if I have a body in the mode of ignorance, then I should act to assist those who are performing sacrifice. I should utilize my propensity, my existential existence in the mode of ignorance, to assist in that way. If I have a body in the modes of passion, I should assist in that way. If I have a body in the mode of goodness, I should assist in that way. Because that's what that mode is meant for, to assist in sacrifice. But when I give up, or if I don't even know what modes I'm under, and first of all, if there's no sacrifice going on, then we're all in trouble. Because it doesn't matter what we do. It's just all a waste of time. Not only a waste of time, but it's going to put us into a situation where we're going to have millions of years to waste in the lower species of life. If there's no conception of God, there's no conception of sacrifice, there's no conception of the goal of life, then everyone's in trouble, as we can see in modern society. Practically speaking, everyone's in trouble. Katevidu swarthi katim hi vishnu darashe aye bahir arthamanina. They don't know the goal of life is obtained Krishna or Vishnu. Therefore, arthamanina, Dharashaya. Things are insignificant. This whole Christmas is an insignificant event for people who are working hard for insignificant things. Buying things that are insignificant to give to insignificant people, to do insignificant things with them. And yet they make a big thing out of it, as if something important is happening. But because people are in ignorance, actually everything they're doing is simply sinking them deeper into the modes of material nature. Therefore, people have to be taught what the purpose of life is, that the purpose of life is to achieve Vishnu. Because in the age of Kali, there's no Dharma, there's no understanding of liberation from the material concept of life. Therefore, people are only interested in economic development, so-called economic development, because they're not really developing economically. Real economic development is good food, fresh air, clean water, nice relationships, higher consciousness. That's economic development. Because one can't gratify one's senses with contaminated water, contaminated air, contaminated food, contaminated relationships. There's no way of gratifying or satisfying the senses, and the mind will never be satisfied, and the mind doesn't become peaceful, then there's no question of thinking about liberation, but to speak of doing what's necessary to achieve it. Therefore, people, they're not imitating in the Varna Ashram, they're imitating the animals. And they're doing a very bad imitation of the animals, because the animals do a very better job of being an animal than a human being does. The animals, they follow the laws of nature, and therefore if the human beings actually wanted to imitate the animals, they should also follow the laws of nature. But they don't do that. So they can't even imitate the animals properly. But one should know what one's duty is. But no one's going to know what their duty is because no one has a duty. Because there's no understanding with the goal of life. There's no sacrifice being performed. The only sacrifice is being performed is that people are throwing things into their mouth, into the fire in their stomach. That's the only fire sacrifice. Therefore, except for Yajna Vai Vishnu, except for the Sankirtan Yajna, there is no sacrifice in Kali Yuga. Because even we perform sometimes fire sacrifices, but that's not really a sacrifice. It's just a way of burning some wood. Because sacrifice Vedic sacrifice means that one has to be able to chant mantras to a certain degree of potency so that just by chanting the mantra without any other trick, the fire lights. If you can't chant the mantra just to light a fire, then why will anyone invest, I guess, the equivalent millions of dollars in a fire sacrifice? Sacrificing ghee and gold and jewels into a fire sacrifice if there's not going to be any result. And the whole sacrifice depends upon chanting mantras, not throwing things into a fire. Throwing things into the fire is the renunciation or the utilization, but the actual product coming from the demigods, the actual reciprocation coming from Krishna and the demigods, is the basis of chanting mantras. That is surrender. Throwing things into the fire, of course, is surrender. But ultimately, we have to surrender our intelligence also. And that's manifest in the perfectly chanting mantras, which no one can do. Therefore, if someone threw gold and jewels and grains into the fire, the only thing they're going to sacrifice is the gold, jewels, and grains. And the result is everyone's going to become poorer, which is not a bad idea, because then they'll be less inclined to do nonsense activities. But as far as positive activities, sacrifice for Vishnu, that won't be there. And because there won't be any result, people will stop doing it, as they've done already. They stopped fire sacrifices. The only one doing a fire sacrifice nowadays is some Brahmins in India to collect money, and some devotees doing a fire sacrifice, so that the process of initiation sometimes is taken more seriously. In any case, in this age, if we want to perform, not imitate, then we also have to understand what our psychophysical nature is and try to engage in Krishna's service according to our psychophysical nature as best we can. So that's the Sankirtan movement. So Prabhupada writes, if one is a Brahmin, and who's a Brahmin really, but if one has the inclination to cultivate knowledge and to explain that knowledge to others, then one should try to explain to people that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Not to decry Krishna or think that because I have a little accumulation of knowledge, I become equal to Krishna's knowledge, equal to Krishna. We may have a little bit of knowledge, and we can utilize that knowledge in Krishna's service by explaining to others how Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and how we can come to actually realize Krishna. If one has the propensity to control things, organize things, then one should try to organize the Sankirtan movement. In the beginning, Arjuna, the great warrior, didn't want to fight because he didn't want to go against his relatives. Just like nowadays, if one joins the Hare Krishna movement, often the parents become disgusted. I worked so hard for you, I sent you to college or school, we expected something of you, and now you become a Hare Krishna. The lowest, the low. You should have died long ago. Therefore, people, often devotees, they become bewildered by their family affection, and they think, oh, I can't disappoint my relatives or my parents. I have to go fall in maya with them. Just like one man was told by a priest, if you drink, you're going to hell. He said, but my mother drinks. Well, she's going to hell too. But my father also drinks. Well, he's also going to hell. But all my brothers and sisters, they all drink. Well, they're all going to hell. Well, if all my friends drink, well, they're also going to hell. Well, if all my relatives and my friends and my parents are all in hell, then hell is heaven. I don't mind going there. So people think, out of sentiment, my parents don't like the Hare Krishna movement, my friends don't like it. Even sometimes the wife falls into maya and leaves, or the husband falls into Maya and leaves, and one thinks, yes, let me fall into Maya and leave also. That's called material affection. Like the bird was going out to gather food for the family, and he came back, and he found that the family was trapped by a hunter in a net. So, being bewildered by family affection, he flew into the net also, because he didn't. If the children were being killed, if the wife was being killed, then let me be killed also. So everyone's going to hell, and we think, well, everyone's going to hell, let me go to hell with them, out of family affection. But that's not what Krishna told Arjuna. Your relatives are all fighting against the cause of religion, so you must fight against them. So Arjuna surrendered and took up the fight on behalf of Krishna. So the Sankirtan movement is the struggle against Maya in this age of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates. And one should utilize one's propensity to organize things and fight in order to carry on to further the Sankirtan movement, so that the Brahmins, when they preach, their preaching will be most effective. One has some resources, and one should utilize them, not like Ravana, but like Hanuman, and utilize them in Krishna's service for the Sankirtan movement, so that there's something to organize. And so the organization should be focusing upon convincing people that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that they should utilize their energies in Krishna's service. Anything besides that, although it may seem quite strict, is just imitation. And the result of imitation is one assured at Bhayavaha. So Bhayavaha Neha Bikramanoshasti Pratyavayo Navidite Swapam Apyasu Vayate Mahatobayat. The most dangerous fear. The whole society is imitating on every level. That's the symptom of Kali Yuga. A Sudra is dressed as a king, and he's killing a cow. Does it sound familiar? So that's the whole society means that so-called leaders are all less than Shudras, and the whole society is economically advancing based upon animal slaughter. And there is no Pariksha Maharaj, but there are laws of nature which will send everyone to hell. And then after hell you become into the lower species of life for a good duration of eons. Therefore, the only hope is to understand the value of the Sankirtan movement and how to utilize our energies to participate appropriately. If we're not have the power to organize, and we try to become an organizer, we don't know how to organize, what the purpose of organization is, then everything will become, even the Hare Krishna movement will not be very progressive. If we don't preach simply to convince people that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that one should utilize one's energies in his service, then this movement also won't be effective. We can tell so many stories, but at the end of the story, if everyone walks out and they still do the same things they did before they came to the class, then we're just wasting our time and wasting their time too. And if we have resources and we don't want to utilize them in Krishna's service, then the result is that there won't be anything to organize. You may have perfect managers, you may have great preachers, but they'll be ineffective because they won't have anything to work with. Something will be accomplished, but not very much. And if that doesn't happen, then the whole society will go to the darkest regions of existence. And there won't be any question of Manmana Bhava Madhbhakto Madhyajim Nam Namaskuru Mamai Vaishisi Satyam Te Pratijani Priyosime. there won't be any question of thinking about Krishna. Because even people come to the temple, the lecturer won't know what to say. They'll say so many things and no one will understand. No one will be able to remember what they said. And they'll walk out and everyone will go on doing with the same thing they were doing before they came into the class. So if we don't speak in such a way that people can understand according to their particular situation, so that they can eventually remember what we say and act upon it and become serious about it and participate in the Krishna consciousness movement and then develop a godly quality so that they can convince others to do the same, then the result is that we'll all be in difficulty. We're already in difficulty, but we'll just, as Kali Yuga goes on, because that's what this is talking about, then we're already we have a tendency to imitate. Everyone wants in this age to be the center of attraction. So ultimately, in spiritual life, the center of attraction means that everyone wants to be the acharya. Everyone wants to be the savior. And if you're the savior, then automatically you have the opportunity to become the enjoyer and the controller, too, of all those your so-called saving. Because in order to save them, they have to surrender to so-called you and give you the objects of enjoyment so that you can supposedly utilize them in Krishna service. So unless the people who are leading society realize that they have to take the proper position, then the result is that everyone wants to imitate, everyone wants to be the center of attraction already, and it just goes on even in spiritual life. People try to put themselves forward as the saviors, and ultimately along with that as the controllers and the enjoyers too. And the result is, even spiritual societies, as like the Gaudiya Math has probably pointed out, because of that tendency to want to put oneself in the center as a spiritual authority, but that one didn't work either. That one should understand one's actual position, and only those who are actually completely selfless and an instrument for Krishna, who realize that there is simply an instrument for Krishna, only those can act as the perfect instrument to serve Krishna and not imitate those on a higher platform of consciousness. In any case, the tendency to imitate is there. We should try to recognize it in ourselves. It manifests itself as our desire to control, as our desire to enjoy, and our desire to be in the center as the savior of others. That others have to depend on, are depending on me. Then we can begin to actually hear about Krishna in a meaningful way. We can actually begin to try to repeat what we've heard in our activities and actually remember what we've heard and apply it in the Sankirtan movement to take up the process of sadhana bhakti and eventually service and eventually preaching, distributing of transcendental knowledge to others. And the last thing it says, which is another form of imitation, people will simply put on a thread. So in our movement, it means that we become Brahmins. We think, now I'm a Brahmin, now my business is finished. Now I become initiated. My spiritual master took all the sinful reactions I had. So now I'm clear. I can go out. Supposedly he took it for millions of lifetimes. And therefore, this one lifetime I can enjoy. And if things get too difficult, I can come back and Janmasthami and offer a couple of quarters in the hundi. Get purified again. And everything's going to be all right. So one thinks that initiation is the end, and then initiation is not the beginning. The beginning of recognizing that I'm nothing but the insignificant servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna, and that all my energy should be utilized, I should learn how to advance to the platform where I can gradually utilize all my energies in Krishna's service, my body, mind, and words, under Krishna's directions. to spread the Sankirtan movement. If I don't utilize that opportunity of initiation for that, then it actually can be cause of another false ego, another upadhi, another false identification, that I'm something other than a common conditioned soul. I'm an initiated conditioned soul. And because I'm an initiated conditioned soul, I don't suffer for the same sinful reactions, but even if I do the same activities that other common conditioned souls do. So this is another kind of illusion which will drag one down even further into degradation than an ordinary conditioned soul who has some restraint, who has some understanding of morality or that they've learned from some kind of religious background. We can go on with this, but I think we'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Comments? Yes. Yes. Yeah. Shreya Swadhamo Viguna. That's in the third chapter. And then the other one is in the 18th chapter. Yeah. What's that? I think it's 27 or 28. Oh, 30. It does not move. Three thirty-five. Anything else? Yes. Okay. He'll answer the question for you. Thank you very much. Grantaraj Shrimad Bhagavad Gita Kijai. Srila Prabhupada Kijai. Gaur Premanande.